so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. They'll stone you when you're trying to go home. They'll stone you when you're there all alone.
Help me out, here we go.
But I would not feel so all alone.
Come on, you old timers, you know it.
Everybody must get stoned.
That's right.
Well, they'll stone you when you're walking on the
street.
Thank
you very much. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You got to love that. We're probably one of a million churches starting our sermon with this song this morning, but we don't mind being like others. We share in that. There's a lot of Dylan going around. And if those who don't know, Bob Dylan actually came to know Jesus Christ in the Vineyard Movement on the beaches with one of my friends who played on the album, Larry Myers, actually led him. Of course, it was not long after that, I think, he converted to Judaism, which has a conflict. So, you know, who knows? But as it were, that's a wonderful... Dennis, I was thinking of you on that there. You were like, yes, bring the Word of God now. We finally did worship. I appreciate that. That's fantastic. So if you're here today and you're the first time, you're a guest, but you're family. And so letting you know, when you come to this family table, we might play a little Bob Dylan, might help you, amongst some other things like that. I can guarantee you we won't do Black Sabbath War Pigs ever again. So Brian Fox, I want to thank you for that. That was a long time ago, but we did clear the church out and make room for these people now. So thank you. So we don't need to do that one anymore. But I don't understand that one there. But had no bearing on the sermon. But anyhow, one of the things I love about this song here, done by so many people, is as often we think of this song is, you know, Bob Dylan's calling everyone to get maybe liquored up and high and stuff like that. And, you know, don't look at me like that, because I know you were thinking that. But actually, that's not it at all. He's certainly saying that you can expect, as you go through this life, that people are going to throw stones at you. That's just a fact of life. As he said, they'll stone you when you're trying to be so good. They'll stone you just like they said they would. And these very typical things, as you go through the song, start saying that no matter what you do, you're going to get someone who's going to throw stones at you. When you eat breakfast, they're going to get you on how you eat breakfast and these kind of things. So for those of us who have very thin skin and don't ever like anyone to say anything negative, well, welcome to the real world, because that's what people do. They try to bring you down, to bring themselves up, and that's what goes on, and that's what we say, is that's just the way it is. And you say, well, I'm so glad that I came to get that lighthearted message that only you could give, Raymond, you know. Well, I've always said, there's others who will give you the hope. We're going to give you the rope. No, I'm not trying to be pessimistic at all. Matter of fact, it's exactly what Jesus said. And as we see in John 15, he said this here. He said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you. He began to say, remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And if they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. Okay? So understanding that Jesus spoke in this, and as many know right now, when we mention the word persecution around the world, those who have given their life to Christ Jesus, even as in the first century church, are undergoing tremendous persecution. You just turn on the news right now, you're seeing people dying for their faith. And for the first time, probably for us North Americans, we're starting to think, well, wow, that actually could be something that's going on. We have lived in a Constantinian Christianity, which means since Constantine the Emperor in the 1800s, we were favored, highly favored people. I'm a Christian. Oh, we're here, have a job. And now if you say you're a Christian, they'll go, well, hold on a second. You're like going to want Sunday off or something like that. So we understand that times have changed. We're not that favored group that we used to be. It doesn't put us in. And in some ways, those are great things that are there, because they cause us to really make a real stand that's there. But I also want us to understand that persecution is not just something that happens from the outside as those who hate Jesus come after us, per se. It just happens a lot in life as it's there. And as we continue in our series, as you see behind me, the title that was there before, forgive me, that we realize that we're having a cultivating a Come Holy Spirit
community is what we've been talking about as we go through Acts. And by that, what we're trying to do is frame out a pneumatology. And in that word, as I use pneumatology, don't let it scare you. It just means my understanding or study of the Holy Spirit. And each one of us have come with that understanding of the Holy Spirit. And for some, when I say, come Holy Spirit, what that means for you is all of a sudden that you think of images of people falling or shaking or speaking in tongues. So for others, we say, Holy Spirit, come. You might think of prophecy, healing. Others, it's when I say Holy Spirit, you think of that guarantee, that deposit that guarantees that you know Jesus Christ. And for some others, you might think, well, the writing of Holy Scripture is inspiration. For some, it's the understanding of that there. For others, the Holy Spirit is that one who sends me to foreign countries. For others, the Holy Spirit is something that comes when we take Eucharist. Maybe you've had a background where that was really where you experienced the Holy Spirit, our water baptism, these kind of things. And the truth is, you all would be right. And that's what we're trying to say, is that unfortunately, we like to come in and put the Holy Spirit's understanding in a very small box. We don't want the full continuum. But in this church, we want you to be able to experience the Holy Spirit on the full continuum. That means that through the glory clouds or whatever the ecstatic stuff is, these things are open as you may go through that. But we want you to also understand that He is very much here today because you have gathered together. The Holy Spirit brought you today. You're not that good, and I'm not that good. It took the Holy Spirit to pop some of you out of bed. Now, you take Bubba over here, for instance. Bubba, can you stand up real quick there? Now, take that. The Holy Spirit inspired that shirt. There's no way a man wears that shirt. That's the glory of God all over that shirt. Can you just stand up? They're dying over here. You never wear a shirt at home. Yeah. You see, the Holy Spirit's active today. So we've already done church. You can go home. But as we look at those things and we think of the Holy Spirit, we want to sit back and realize that the Holy Spirit has one desire, and that is this here. He wants to move on our lives to bring us into this identification of Jesus Christ, into the identification of Jesus Christ's life, His mission, His death, His resurrection and glorification, that we come in and that life, as we receive Christ, we begin to identify with His life. He takes over our life. The life, He says to me, Raymond, let me have the life of a broken down 52-year-old man who has a million children. And I'm like, take it, Lord. And you see, it means I begin to identify with Him in that way and take that life. Why? So I can experience the kingdom of God in its complete fullness, even now. Not going to get it all till Jesus returns, but I want the kingdom life now, guys. I don't want to just get up every day and say, how am I going to make it? What's going on? I want to know the telos, the calling of my life, that true north where He is the magnet that's pulling me towards something in my life that gets me up in the morning so that I know the why of my life, so I don't have to get up and be so worried about the what of my life in that sense. So that is a tremendous part of what we want to see the Holy Spirit doing. So if we say that we want to identify with Jesus Christ, then you can definitely assume that when we say, come Holy Spirit, and here comes that fill in the blank, Ron. Yeah, you better have a lot of ink today. That's all I'm saying. Is we can expect to identify with the sufferings of Christ. Now, you can say, this, Katie Grider, you know, you really came for the big one today. Oh, I like suffering. I dig this. This is good. I was just talking to Luke Fox a while ago, and he's just started his soccer season, and he's identifying with suffering right now. I could see that. I don't know if it was for Christ, but definitely you are suffering. So I have a hard time pulling soccer and Jesus together. I have a hard time pulling soccer and anything enjoyable together. But I will say to you, I'm an old man who hasn't caught on to what's hip. So, very good. As we look at this here, what I'm trying to say as you're writing it down is the Holy Spirit's always going to lead us to a place of suffering. Eventually, you're going to get led to a place of suffering. Now, some of you are going, now, hold on a second. I didn't sign on for this stuff. I thought the Holy Spirit was going to make everything fine, that my dadgum tires weren't going to pop anymore. I was going to get my dog back. I was going to get, you know, my wife back. Yeah, playing the country music backwards kind of thing. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to do all these things. And you'll notice the moment you say yes, great things begin to happen, just like a honeymoon, but all of a sudden you'll begin to experience some of those things that's there, and we realize that this is what's going on, because why? He's bringing us to a death of ourself. And that is the only way we can experience the resurrected life. Is you got to die to get resurrected, right, Joe? That's just the way it is. And so in that sense, he's bringing us to a death of self. Eventually, we will all certainly die, but we won't remain dead. And for those of us who are here when Christ Jesus returns, you won't die, but you will get rid. You'll get a resurrected body, and I'm excited about that because I know I've already put down. I'm going through some of my old pictures trying to pick out what year I want and praying for that one. Lord, if I could have my hair when I was 17 and my body went, you know, whatever, you know, you got it there. Pick it out. I'm sure he's going to fulfill that. Just check out a box. The Holy Spirit's got, probably not. But there, that's fantastic. Now, this is exactly what we see when we're in that identification that's there. And I see this in 1 Peter 2:21. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, so I'll have to do this with an accent. No, I won't. For this you've been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps. As we identify with him, we are following in his steps, which led him through suffering that is there. But we're not left alone in this downtrodden malady where I'm just, you know, I'm suffering for Jesus, brother. You know, it's what am I going to do? Understand something, and we see this in the King James Version, that name of Holy Spirit is Comforter. Holy Comforter. And we see this in the verse that is there in John 14. I will pray the Father, Jesus says, and he will give you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever. So I say, come, Holy Spirit, because some of us are going through sufferings right now, if not all of us in some way. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to bring comforting so that you can hear this message and it not bring you to a place of exasperation, but in a sense of feeling a purpose of what's going on. And that's always exciting. If you think you're just suffering because you're an idiot, and we often do, I'm here because I'm an idiot, it's very difficult. But when we're going through suffering and we can see something, that's very helpful. To help us with that. So this morning, as we continue in this series as it is, Timmy, we understand that we're in the book of Acts. And so we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit is moving in the book of Acts, because we see at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes as a violent wind, moves through fiery tongues, and begins to move in a powerful way that establishes a church. And so we realize that when the Holy Spirit's coming on the church, we can see how the Holy Spirit, his characteristics and how he moves in the church. I'm not saying everything you've ever wanted to see is right there, but I'm saying we can look and see his characteristics is there. So let's go ahead and look at this man by the name of Stephen. We looked at him last week because there is no greater example of a man, I think, that was used in narrative, certainly, to demonstrate the identification of Jesus Christ's life, mission, and death, Hannah. So we look at Stephen because here's a guy who ends up being very humble. He's a table waiter, but even though he's a table waiter, he ends up being a guy who works powerfully through signs and wonders and miracles, great miracles to establish from normal miracles. I don't know how you do that, so I'm sorry. But he's got great miracles, and yet he's an humble guy, and he finds himself being accused by a group of men who were part of the freedmen. They would have been Grecian Jews synagogue, and they were having a problem with this. They bring him before the Sanhedrin, the same group that Jesus had been brought before. And he's accused of saying things against the temple and their way of life, the same things that Jesus was accused of. And there he speaks to them, and he gives this great speech that Joel Looney took last week. If you were here, give Joel a big hand and bless him there. And as Joel said, he gave them the big reveal that all this has been leading up to this one guy, Jesus Christ. And he gave them that big reveal. You know, Jesus loves you, man. And let's see what moves on when we do that. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit, move now as we come to this place. Allow your scripture to speak into our heart in a powerful way. And we say, move now. Go to the deepest recesses. Go to that room that's been locked up for a long time in our life. Would you open it up? Would you come and speak in there? Because some of us have suffered in ways that make no sense. And we're asking you to come and bring healing, Holy Comforter, to come and bring purpose and destination for our lives, Lord. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So if you got your Bibles and you turn to Acts 7:54, we'll go on, and we're not going to take anywhere near the scripture that Joel took last week. I mean, he had to read a lot up here. I don't read that good. It would be difficult to do that, so we're going to take a whole lot less. So matter of fact, without glasses, I'm probably good for 7 verses, and then after that, we're done. So some of you know what I'm talking about. So buy glasses. So let's go ahead and look. When they heard this, verse 54 of chapter 7 of Acts in the New Testament, when they heard this, these people, this explanation, the Sanhedrin, they were furious and they gnashed their teeth at him. Now, I don't know about you, but having someone gnashing your teeth at you, Joe West, you probably have seen this, but you know, you ride a motorcycle, so you know what it's like to have teeth gnashed at you. But I mean, for me, I'm not used to teeth gnashing, but they're a little hacked off. And again, what's he talking about? He's talking about Jesus. He's not up there talking politics. Now, some of your political talk should bring some gnashing of teeth, apparently, but he's just talking. Now, understand this. For him to be talking about Jesus was to be a political specter in his day, and certainly would have brought the ire of these people. Why? Why were they upset? Because he was messing with their way of life. He was messing with their system. He was messing with the way that they had set up to worship and understand God, and no one should jack with that. But he was jacking with it by talking about Jesus. So they've gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, he's full of the Holy Spirit. There you see, he's full of the Holy Spirit. He got up and he looked up to heaven and he saw the glory of God. That glory of God, that thing that emanates out of God, that's himself, that he's pouring out to us. We recently went up and saw Costa Mitchell and Brenham here this last night, and he just talked about that glory being like honey that just pours out and just gets on you, and you try to lick it, but it gets up in your hair and your ear, and it just, you're trying to but it just gets all over you. And that's what we want, the glory of God. He looks up and sees the glory of God. And as he sees the glory of God, it says it here, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now, he does something very foolish, but probably not foolish by God's standards. He tells them that. Sometimes you see things you should just not say, but he says it. Look! Look up there, you people with gnashing teeth who hate Jesus. Look! I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Ah! That would have been the way it works. Well, anytime you see the Holy Spirit move, anytime you say, come Holy Spirit, that's it, just in this church or anywhere else, you're going to see a polarization that's going to be there. You're going to see people scramble for sides. That's just what happens. Now, we, in this whole thing we've put out here and trying to lay it out, is so that we don't scramble for sides. So that when Ray worships and you see him over there maybe praying in tongues as he worships, that Misty doesn't say, I can't handle it. He's praying in tongues. I can't handle it. By the way, these are true stories, but we've changed names to protect the innocent. So, not with these guys. But the point is I just, were they that loud? No, I just don't like praying in tongues. Well, leave them alone. I looked over there, and I'm just sick and tired of people not worshiping. They got their hands in their pants, and they're doing this here. Well, they're here, which is more than I could say for a lot of other people, because there's, you know. But the point is, we realize the Holy Spirit is moving in all of these ways. So we sit back, see this polarization that's going on. And why? Because the Holy Spirit's doing this, guys. He's always challenging us. He's always stretching us. He's always growing us. He is in the creation business. Go back to Genesis, hovering over the waters, dispelling chaos. He's not a static force field. He is part of the Trinity. He is relational, and no relationship can be static. If you're married right now and y'all have just been happy for 10 years and nothing's ever changed, I understand someone's not happy. All right, I just want you to know you're happy, they're not. There's always something changing and calling us to greater stuff. It's never done. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, there's going to be polarization that goes on there. Now you say, why is that? Well, let's just say there's an old saying that says this here. The same sun that hardens clay melts wax. And when the Holy Spirit moves in the room, the same thing that might melt your heart and bring you to tears and get you excited, Carol, may infuriate someone else. And there, all of a sudden, boom, we see these things happening. Does that mean one's wrong and one's right? All I'm going to say is we need to understand this here. When the Holy Spirit moves, he instills love in one while provoking anger in another. Now, I don't know why that is, but I'm just going to say, we see biblically it happening. When he moves, there's going to be this bifurcation, this separation, and you see those things happening. I don't want to be the guy who anger's going into, but have I been moved to anger when I've seen the Holy Spirit move? Yes! What do they think they're doing? They're violating God's holy word. I've been there. And most times I'm right. But, you know, because I'm right, just like you're right. And, you know, no one's wrong. The sense is, yes, is the scripture open for all interpretation, anybody do what they want? And that's not what I'm saying. But the point is we get very upset sometimes when things really change and look different. I shared with you a couple weeks ago, Bill Johnson is the pastor of the Bethel church that is up, that you see a lot of Holy Spirit movement going on. Some of you have seen that online, you're reading that. And my friend Carl Tuttle had asked Bill Johnson, said, okay, Bill, I'm down with you. But what is all this glory cloud stuff that's going on? Explain that. I mean, that's ridiculous. And he said, Bill Johnson said, well, you know, Carl, I don't know, but the kids seem to love it. So, I mean, there you go. The point is, the kids are coming to church. They were getting involved in it. Am I asking you to bring your glory cloud here? Not really. But I am saying I'm open as the Lord may move in these things, what touches your life and those kind of things. Am I open for you to make a spectacle of yourself and make it all about you? No, because that wouldn't be what it's all about. But am I going to judge someone who might be moved in the Holy Spirit in a way that challenges me? We will pastor those things. We'll go with it. We're not going to point fingers and slam people, nor are we going to sit back and say that is the only expectation we have. Holy Spirit, wham. I want to see Holy Spirit life identification with Christ. And if you fall, that's great, but it's how you get up and walk that we're looking at in our life. Okay? And that's what we're saying. If you fall, we don't do catchers at the Vineyard. If you hit your head, we believe the Holy Spirit heals too. So that it's, we'll let him do it. So I'm trying to walk this lightly. Because some of you really want to experience him in a way, and some of you are like very upset because you don't want to experience him, but you get mad that someone else does, and you don't. So, all right, let's walk and pursue him. He knows who you are. Remember the tongues that were there in the room. We were all in the room together, it says, and separate tongues came and touched each individual. As the Holy Spirit touches you as an individual, you respond in a way that's very similar to what you need and what's going on in your life. For me, I was knocked to the floor after I told him I don't want any of that. And a lot of embarrassing things went on because I needed that. Because I was a very jacked up individual. Okay? Apparently, there's some more work that needs to be done. But let's hope it gets done before the end. Let's get done with the sermon before that happens. So, I hope I've left enough things out there to make lots of questions and comments that could probably ruin the whole thing. So, let's go ahead and look at that there. He instills love in one while provoking anger in another, but he comforts us by letting us see God's perspective, okay? Now, what am I saying in this? If you're the one who's in the suffering because someone's anger maybe is coming at you, and I know, Karen, you've probably experienced these things too. What helps us when we maybe get really excited about the Holy Spirit and then we get underneath this issue of suffering. For me, I was at the Anaheim Vineyard. The Holy Spirit move was going at the time. The guy on the radio was just tearing us up, man. He not only was tearing up John, and I kind of got in the middle of it because I'd got touch with the Holy Spirit, and a girl I'd dated now was the answer man's secretary. I won't say his name. She sent me a thing and said, I want you to know my boss says you've been touched with the devil, and it really was hurting. So I went to my pastor, and basically he found, and that was John Wimber, that he also was being thrown kind of on the altar of these things and being kind of cut up. And it was a very difficult time for us at church because no one wants to be that person going through those things. It was very hurtful. And we can disagree. We don't need to denigrate one another, I would certainly say. But what is God's perspective? Well, let me tell you real quick, if you're with me this morning, is Stephen gets a picture of God's perspective when it comes to suffering. He sees the one who suffered before him, this identification with Christ. Where does he see Jesus? At the right hand of God. Why? Because he's resurrected and he's been glorified. And God is saying, this is what awaits you. As you go through suffering, understand something. You have an end perspective that I'm going to resurrect you and I'm going to bring you into that, to receive you as my own in that sense. Now, am I saying that you should just suffer because you know you're going to die and go to heaven one day? That's not what I'm saying, because often that allows the tyrant to continue to pump through and justice is thrown out the window. I'm not saying that. The point is, when you go through suffering, let's say you're going through something with your spouse. Let's say you're loving your spouse in the way Jesus called you to, but you're not getting kindness in return. Let's say that you're loving your children and they think you're crazy. What's new? So, I mean, the point is we understand something, that when we are walking in this righteousness, that we have a perspective, God says, I am bringing resurrection in your life as you go through the suffering that's going on. When you go through a place maybe where you've been stepped out of a position and you feel it was unjust, there's this sense of what's going on. Just hang in there. Because the perspective is this: I'm resurrecting you. I'm identifying you. I'm resurrecting you. And that's a tremendous thing that we see very much there. The Holy Spirit gives us this theology of suffering. Now capture that, a theology for suffering, a pneumatology of suffering, meaning that suffering is part of what it means to be a believer. And it's doing something. Why? Because some of you may have come from the background and believe if you suffered, you're under a curse. And that's not always true. Things go on. We'll see that. I must go quicker here. So Philippians 3:10, Paul writes this: I want to know Christ. Now, if you want to know Christ, raise your hand right now. Get your hand up. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection. And by the way, guys, think of a body being lifted, all that we're made of, being resurrected. He was flesh, but he was spirit brought together in this sense. He wasn't some disembodied, flitting spirit running around playing a harp up in heaven. He walked around as a body, ate food, let them see it. It was purposeful for them to see, you too will have a body. This is purposeful for us to understand the power of resurrection. You cheated death. You beat death back. And he wanted us to understand that that is something that we have today, understand. We beat the tyrant of today, which is even death today, to destroy you and rob you of your dignity and take away all that is of your life. And as you sit back and understand, and you can see that Jesus was resurrected and his life was valid and brought into victory, that mine is too, and all of a sudden that somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And even today I start that process, not falling to those voices of those things. What are the things that the tyrant's trying to do? He's always going to bring these suffering. Robert, how's he do that? Insult. The big eyes. Injury. Imprisonment. And all these are a sense of death trying to kill himself. But insults, injury, imprisonment, these are the things that they throw at us as believers. So you're going to get insulted. And yes, it will be believers more than likely doing it, just as it was for Stephen. These were the godly people who were in charge of everything, who were very upset. It's generally not the world. The world just mocks you. They find you laughable. Do you understand that? They find you very laughable. Now, it's those who believe they know God better than you, and that's where we see death really being brought often to other believers. So that's from other faiths and from within the faith as well. So real quick, if we can move on, does that kind of help you in a way to understand? Real quick, I am participating in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I'm enjoying this journey, and suffering's a big part of that. Now, the second thing says, as they covered their ears, so this is a beautiful picture of religious leadership. I think it exists today, so forgive us. You know, gnashing of teeth, covering ears, this is going on. They look beautiful. They rushed at him. This looks like some of those pictures I've seen. They dragged him out of the city, just like Jesus. Again, the identification is powerful. And they begin to stone him. Something that should have happened to Jesus, but Jesus was crucified as the way it would be set up. In this case here, they don't mind stoning him. They stone him. And you can imagine true stones hitting you, the power of a rock hitting you. Just one. But imagine a whole group of people just throwing them at you, and they're hitting wherever they can fall, hitting you in the head. They're hitting the body. Generally, you don't die from the first stone. I want you to get that, because that's a picture of suffering for us today. You think you're going to die often with the things people say to you and the things you... It's just another blow. And if you deal with depression, and I've dealt with depression, it just feels like there's another blow. When you're at your lowest, someone just throws another rock. Somebody says you owe money, you didn't know that you owed them. Somebody says something about you, and you're like, you got to be kidding me. I meant that in love. And so we got to understand that the stoning is part of the believer's life in that sense. It doesn't mean that you're always justified because sometimes we set ourselves up for the stoning and sin stuff. But in this case, either way, get that picture that's going on. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And again, this is going to become Paul eventually, but this man, Saul, is the one we'll see develop a little bit later. So in this year, this is going on. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, just like Jesus again. And he fell on his knees and he cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Just like Jesus. This non-violent identification that is with Jesus. Do you understand? In every way, he is walking out. And Luke wants us to see this. Luke's writing this down. Wants us to see this identification with Jesus' life and death. And, of course, the hope of the resurrection. When he said this, he fell asleep. Some of you have absolutely thought, you know, I really would just like to go to sleep and not wake up. The suffering's just too great. And I look at Stephen and I think, boy, if I could just go ahead and go on to be with the Lord, I would take that stoning. But I want you to understand that your life has been written by the Father and it has purpose. And Stephen's life being poured out as a martyr becomes blood that the whole seed of Christendom would be planted in and sent out. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But he has purpose in your life. And this isn't the time to want to throw your life away. It's a time to push forward and say, Lord, I can't live like this. I need purpose. I need meaning. I need purpose. I need you to come and lift the pain so I can somehow walk out of this. I want to say to you today, my prayer for you is that you go from saying, Lord, how much more do I have to live? To becoming, Lord, how much more do I have to live? That you actually find joy for your life. It is a promise that he can bring that to us. So that's my prayer for you today. By the way, these voices are going on. The Holy Spirit moves. Some hear it one way, some another. I love what... So when we see the Holy Spirit moving, we might see something of this nature. Jesus says, this is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will ever be hearing and never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. And I'll be honest with you, often our religion, our dogma, puts us in this callous position because if we're not growing and we're just hanging on to these ideas that don't bring life, if our theology is not affecting our anthropology, then, you know, you've got some ology that's not working there. So with that there, I want us to understand something that we all can be like the Sanhedrin in this place where we just grab hold of these tenets of faith and that's all we want to hear and all we want to talk about. And I want us never to be a callous people who sit back and say, well, you know, I don't understand my kids. None of them walk with me in faith. They drink beer. Alcohol never went through my lips. And they're just, you know, and I'm like, my goodness, maybe that they might have seen would have been more of an understanding and forgiveness model other than the sobriety, model. Maybe you could have had a drink and it might have helped. I don't know, but I mean, I'm not saying that, but you're just like, I don't know if that's the main tenet of faith, you know. For some of you, it's a main tenet for life and keep it. But the issue is you see that happening, and I don't want that to happen to us. I want us to always be growing as we seek the Lord. Because here's the other picture. John 10:27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. That's the model I want my ears to have. I want to hear you, Jesus. I want to hear you. And I think we see those voices in ways here, because here's your fill in the blank. When the Spirit moves, some respond with violence while others offer forgiveness. And I'm going to ask you to figure out which voice is saying one or the other. I don't really need to say that. Some respond with violence and some with forgiveness. And when Jesus is saying, identify with me, I think we need to really think about what I'm saying there. Are you with me on that? Do I need to preach that out? Because here is Stephen walking in this. Does that mean that we don't use our voice to speak to our government and to speak? That's not what I'm saying. But I think that when we are generated in anger to bring violence against another, I think we need to step back and say, because they're not believing exactly the way we believe, we need to think about that deeply and very closely. I'm not here to talk about where we stand as a nation going to war. That's not what I'm trying to say to us today. But I am trying to say that I want to be identified as a nonviolent person. And I'll never forget when I first came to the Vineyard and I was on stage and Chris Lazotte was standing next to me in the band, and some guy came in and started smarting off. I just took off my guitar and started walking off the stage. He's going to punch him in the face. I said, you guys are Christians. You can't hit him, but I ain't. I will. I don't want that to be me. You see, it's harder to abstain from that. There's a powerful identification with Jesus and nonviolent retaliation. And I've experienced it in my life. One of the most greatest ones I remember was Bobby and I lived next to a family. They were actually cooking meth, as I recall. I don't know where Bobby's at. He's up there. Do you remember that? And the girl, she was a woman. We won't even talk. We didn't have to watch Cops. It was going on every day next to us there in Los Angeles. And one day, she just runs to the door, and she's got a friend with her. Who was a Spanish friend who didn't speak English, but she came in, and the woman lived next door was vulgar in every way of life. I can't even explain it. And her foot was bleeding, and it was all over my carpet, and our carpet was white. It was a rental. I didn't put it in there. And so the first thing I did was, please sit down on my couch and let me wash your foot. And as I began to walk, it was disgusting. It was one of the one times, though, that I really felt the power of the Holy Spirit moving in me. Like, it had to be God. As I washed her feet, just like biblically, and it was started because I didn't want her bleeding on my carpet, not because I was a good guy. She began to explain how this girl had been beaten by her husband next door. He was drinking, and he was beating her. And so I was washing her feet thinking, wow, this is powerful. I could just feel the Holy Spirit. As much as I felt the Holy Spirit when I was knocked to the floor, I felt it right then and there as I washed the foot of someone who was my neighbor and not a very good one. And about that time, there's a knock at the door, and I go up to the door. It's locked, and it's her husband. And he's standing there with a 2x4. I kid you not. And he's got it like this. And he says, let me in. I want my wife. And I said, Lord, if you let him hit me, he's going to kill me. You've got to protect me. Because I knew if I came aggressively, it was going to get ugly real quick. So I unlocked that door praying to God, please just protect me. And he raised up the 2x4 and I said, sir, I can't let you in here to see your wife. She's seeking refuge here because you've beat her up. And I can't let you take her. And he raised that 2x4 at me. And I said, just hand me that 2x4. You don't want to hit me. And he actually did something. I was freaked out. He took the 2x4 and handed it to me. I was like, wow. And I just took it. You know, I'm shaking inside, but I wouldn't let, you know. I took it, about that time, the police car pulled up. And I put my arm around him and said, come on, let's just walk over here. And we started walking towards the police car. And he willingly walked with me. And then he looks at me and says, you're not one of those Christians, are you? Beep, Christians, are you? I said, yes, I am. And he said, another bleep. And he got in the cop car, and he left. But the power of what I felt in that nonviolent move there was one of the most powerful Holy Spirit moments of my life. And I think that we can or can't. I'm not telling you to do. I can't tell you to do that. And you come up here and say, well, you know, he hit me with a 2x4. I can't, you know. But I'm saying there's many times, you know, that we choose violence when, quite honestly, there's no 2x4 involved. Let's go into it thinking that the Holy Spirit can heal. Let's go into it thinking the Holy Spirit can soothe and can bring some type of conflict resolution without me winning the day violently. Does that make sense? So I would give you that real quick, because what is his comfort on that there? Well, he aligns us with Jesus' life. Now, you've already written that down, but I want you to capture that right there. That is what you know. Because he says in Romans 5, Paul writes, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. All these things are the qualities of Jesus. And as we go through this suffering, let me give you this hope. You're becoming like Jesus. You're becoming like him in a way that allows you to experience the kingdom life in a way that others cannot get it. And violence does not experience the kingdom life. You can ask the Crusaders. And I'm not saying that sometimes violence doesn't have to be had, but I've never known anyone who had to take someone's life who felt good about it, even if it was warranted. It's not a design. It's sometimes necessary. And I've been in that situation. And I've had to back down. I've sat out in front of this church and almost socked a boy right in the nose. It got real close. And I went home and had to take a cold shower because I was so angry that I didn't whoop him. And when I showed up that Sunday, he was sitting in the back row. And when I walked up, he gave me a hug. And I found out his father had left and that he was testing me as a man of God to see how far he could push me. And boy, I was very sad that he got me pretty good. He hooked me good. We got close. But praise God, there was a win that day. When you go through times of suffering, you can take it as a compliment from God, Costa Mitchell said the other night. Because he's saying that you're strong enough to endure this. You see, he's trying to say that what you had before, the bridge that was built in your life before, was strong enough to carry the cat across the bridge. And then he moves through you and strong enough to do, and he's looking to build something strong enough in you that can take a truck across it. Do you understand that he's strengthening you for more, because that's what the Holy Spirit's doing? And that's a compliment, because he might just look at you and go, you're always going to be a cat person. May God forbid. So, you know. And I must read the last, because it's very important for us. Saul was there giving approval to his death of Stephen. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. Now, I want you to understand these apostles, Stella, what they must have felt like. We've built this church, and now look at it. It's gone. It's just us. All these people left. These weaklings, these punks, they just left us here. You can imagine how they felt. All the work we had, and Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. Notice how Joey just sticks that in there, huh? Oh, people are getting dragged out and put in prison. Those who left preached the word wherever they went. We know this year that in all things God works for good for those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. And I want you to understand that as he's called you, that often what's going on here, when the Holy Spirit moves, often persecution and discomfort drive us toward our goal. You understand that? that drives us towards our goal. Sometimes it takes a fight to get it right. Now, I ain't saying that's what no one needs to leave here that way, because we've said before, well, that's not the way we want to leave. But sometimes something happens that pushes us to go and to do. Now, where's Brian and Alana Bonita? They're sitting here. They're going very soon. Alana's actually moving this week to Kingwood to get ready to plant the church in Kingwood. Now, we were doing so good, but Brian and I really had a falling out. He's a big Dodgers fan, and I'm an Astros fan. And you know, I said, there's not room here. You know, you got to go. And see how things happen. Obviously, that's not it. The call's there. But the truth is, often, we won't go on that call until something starts poking us and making it discomfortable. You got to get out of the nest. And those things begin to happen. Often, I want you to see that persecution that goes on may be the thing that's pushing you. Don't leave in a huff. Just understand that these things are maybe things that are pushing us, getting us going down the road. It may be with your job. It may be a friend of mine who worked at another church got fired. And she said, I was angry at first, and then I realized I wanted to move back to California and be with my family. This was an opening to go and do what I wanted to do. And that's where they moved. And they've landed well on their feet. He comforts us by promising us his reward. It's a promise. It's a promise. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And for Teresa and I, as we've shared, we went through a difficult hardship in the church we were at as we were coming here. But we lived in the mountains, man. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. But we needed some things to kind of shake it up and say, it's time. You're in the wrong spot, Raymond. This is nice, but you're in the wrong spot. Brian Fox had to get fired to end up here. And I talked to his pastor at the time. We came up with a plan. But the point is, that wasn't easy. But the life that he's got hanging out with me every day is a life he never dreamed of. God's plan for your life is better than your dreams for your life. And that's often what's going on. Now I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, Paul would say. And I lift up I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. Lacking in Christ's afflictions, there's still lacking that's going on. There's still people who need to be loved, who are unlovable. Starting with Ray Dean. Look at him. He's looking at him. Starting with me. For the sake of his body, which is the church. Meaning that if we're not willing to suffer, we're not going to meet the people who need to be touched. If we are beyond that, then we won't reach the people we've been called to touch. And I thank you for being here, but I feel the Holy Spirit called you here. It certainly wasn't for a billboard or a sign or other things. So the thing is, he's called you here, and look at our community where we sit. We reach a people who are hurting and in need and who don't have families and don't have people to lean on. And you're here today. You know what I'm talking about. And to love you is going to be difficult, because you're hurting so bad that to trust anyone who loves you is difficult. We're willing and we're up to the challenge. We're going to love you. And we're going to fight with you. That's what we do. Would you stand with me now? As the ministry team comes forward, and they're coming forward right now, I want to remind you today that Jesus Christ has called you into this identification with his life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you've never made a commitment to say, I give you my life in exchange for yours. You've never said, let today be the day that my life is identified with yours. Would this day not be the best day to do that? There's no sense in continuing to wait. Come and begin to walk in that. It doesn't get easier. It just becomes more beautiful the quicker we get in. So in that day, And this being that day, I call you to come and to share that commitment. Even as now as you're there, I ask you to just to say that prayer. Lord, I give you my life in exchange for yours. I want you to come and live your life to me. And even as you say that prayer and you mean that with your heart, He is already, the Holy Spirit is filling you up with that guaranteed deposit. I'm asking you to come by up here in the front and let us share that story with you, to hear it from you as you confess with your mouth to men and women. But also say today that there are many of us suffering in our bodies, physically suffering. Do you know that Christ loved to heal? And do you know that He's called us to do the same, because it's part of what the kingdom of God is? As you're suffering physically in your bodies, your lower backs, your respiratory systems, depression, ADD, all these things, we believe He heals. And we pray for Him to come and see marked moves of healing in people's lives today. You will in no way be pushed down. You will in no way be challenged on your faith. You in no way will be forced to be healed. And you can even sit if you must or need to in the front. Some of us are suffering in ways that are harder to define than a physical ailment. By the way, I'm going to ask you to come on down now to receive prayer. If I've called you and that's resonating with you, come on down. You don't need to wait till I'm done here. Come on now and receive, especially if you have children in the back. Come on down now so we can get started. And I want to say, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has showed or stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. As we speak those blessings of James, I say to you today, as you suffer in your heart for things done to you in the past or things you've done to others, let's ask the Holy Spirit to come and break the wall down and begin to hook you back into that sense of feeling Him and moving and experiencing God in a powerful way. Don't hold that off to another day. This suffering that may be here is what we want to pray for. Whatever that suffering may be, whatever's going on in your life, don't be ashamed of that. Just come down and let's move. I don't care if you think you're the fault of it. Come on down. He says, if you want wisdom, ask me. I'm not going to despise you. I'm not going to mock you about that. I invite you down. I'm going to bless you. And you're going to come on down and you're going to pray with us. And then when we're done today, we'll be done. We're not doing anything down here today, so praise God. You'll get to go to Joe and Nancy's house. You got it. Now come, Holy Spirit, now. You can come moving down now if you want to, or you can wait. Come, Holy Spirit, now. I bless you with the power of the Holy Spirit to provide meaning, purpose, and stamina and perseverance for your suffering. And to bring it into what it's supposed to do, to bring you into Christ-likeness. And that you would not suffer for sin's sake, but you would suffer for Christ's sake. And I'm asking Him to come and touch your hearts today, to be blessed with the knowledge and discernment of the difference between those two. Oh, Heavenly Father, would you shine your beautiful countenance upon them, that glory, that sticky substance, just pour out on them now, that they feel the glory of God, to be identified with your kingdom, to be identified. Jesus, that you would bless them with this sense that you have said, I have provided a life for you, a body you have given me, He said to the Father. But now He says, a body that I am providing for you. Come and live. Let's identify with one another. And I bless you in the name of the Holy Spirit, who says, come on, let me flow through you. Let me give meaning, purpose, destiny, telos, design for your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.